if I live next door. If I live next door, we would sleep less, but you'd see me more. If I live next door, there's one thing for sure, you wouldn't have far to score. You could bang on my wall to make a booty call if I live next door. 'Cause I'm a good neighbor, I'm a good friend, I'm a good neighbor, you're in good hands. When it starts to rain, I'll come and clean your drain. If it takes all night to tighten up your pipes, you won't hear me complain. 'Cause I'm a good neighbor, I'm a good friend, I'm a good neighbor, you're in good hands. Step into my kitchen, baby, while I whip up something fast. Stuff your oyster pie, baby, just throw the shit so no one sees our ass. Well, if I live next door, if I live next door, you can come on by, bring a friend or four. If I live next door, it's open house, baby. If I live next door, I'd like to see you a little more. Won't you be my neighbor?
What a beautiful song. That's actually a song called Good Neighbor from the TV series Tremé, and that performer is Jean Boutet. Now, he gave our reporter, Kristen Hemming, specific permission for us to play that for you here tonight on Travel Writers Radio, as Kristen met him in New Orleans recently when she was there. Now, the massive annual event Mardi Gras is underway. It's, of course, Tuesday in the US. But Kristen doesn't suggest you head down there today. In fact, she says you're better off going at another time when you will have the freedom to enjoy Jean Boutet, and best known for that song from the HBO series Tremé. And apart from catching Jean Boutet live, Kristen suggests starting the day with beignets and a Zydeco breakfast at Buck and Johnny's, and she'll tell you all about it.
New Orleans, famous for Mardi Gras, coming up in early March. Chris, I didn't know that there was any sort of religious connotation to this, what appears to be a pagan festival.
It appears to be a pagan festival for good reason, because the Mardi Gras, the Fat Tuesday as it is timed, it varies every year, it's timed to the day before the beginning of Lent. And Lent is, of course, a time when people abstain, give up things in the 40 days prior to Easter. So the big party is basically the last hurrah before Lent. That's why the date varies. So it's the Tuesday before Ash Wednesday.
And I wonder whether the hangover lasts the full 40 days.
I think in many cases it could. And yeah, certainly in New Orleans style, it is a year-long preparation for the costumes, the parades, the social scene. It's really embedded in their whole culture.
Now, I guess if you are of a mind to want to enjoy a spectacle, New Orleans is probably somewhere to go. You did mention last time that Lafayette is a quieter place to observe a Mardi Gras, but the full-blown New Orleans catastrophe is probably something you ought to do maybe once.
Yeah, and I've never been there. during Mardi Gras, and you'd certainly can find a party in New Orleans any day of the week, any time of the year. There, but I should mention too that there's a wonderful April Jazz and Heritage Festival in New Orleans every year. That would probably be more my style, to go hear a ton of music. It usually happens on one or two weekends in April.
Okay.
And it's another good time to go.
Yeah, and what's the weather in New Orleans? It's a bit steamy?
It, in the summer, can be unbearably hot and sticky. It's, of course, really humid. There's a lot of water in New Orleans.
Mm.
It's some of it is below sea level, and it's hot, hot, hot. In the winter, we were there in January, and it was very mild, a little rainy a couple of days. It was pleasant for us. People, the native people, were complaining that it was too chilly.
Fair enough. So what did you set out to do there, Chris?
Well, what we wanted to do is eat and hear music and catch a couple of attractions as well. So we stayed in just what we did not stay in the French Quarter, which I was very happy about. We stayed at an Airbnb just west of the Garden District, and that's a nice neighborhood. You can just walk around and find a normal kind of restaurant like Mahoney's, which has their po' boy sandwiches. It's just a casual place.
Right.
Two attractions that I think are really popular right now. One very well known is the National World War II Museum, which has just grown up over the last 10 or 15 years. It's a quite outstanding museum, privately funded, and covers both European and Pacific fronts. So it's an extraordinary museum and fast-growing. Another place is total hole-in-the-wall called Backstreet Cultural Museum. And I really urge people to check it out, because you'll find original costumes from Mardi Gras from the little neighborhoods and parishes around New Orleans. There's nothing like this as a window into the celebration.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. Good find.
Yeah, and another goal of ours was to hear music, and thanks to a friend of ours who steered us in the right direction, we went to Frenchman's Street, which is, for locals, it's like Bourbon Street. The locals don't go to Bourbon Street, which is the famous street in the French Quarter, but Frenchman Street has a little bar called DBA, as in doing business as, and we heard a guy named John Boutte there who is wonderful. He is famous for singing the theme song to Tremé, the HBO series.
Not sure if that's been on air here.
Curious About New Orleans. That's really embedded in the New Orleans culture. Tremé is one of the neighborhoods of New Orleans. And then finally, we did really hit our stride in stopping in a few restaurants and bars, and just enjoyed it so much, both the music and the food. One unknown, you know, little lesser known place right in the French Quarter is called Napoleon House. We were there mid-afternoon. We had a waiter who had been there for probably 40 years. We had Sazerac cocktail, which is the signature drink of New Orleans.
What's that?
Bourbon-based.
Okay.
Bourbon-based, yeah.
Right.
Kind of similar to an old-fashioned.
Right.
Mine was mixed with a touch of absinthe, so.
Oh, aye, absinthe.
Be good. You could have it with or without. So I tried it both ways.
Yeah, why not?
And had a great plate of red beans and rice. Our waiter recommended you do a scoop of red beans and rice and a scoop of jambalaya together, and I think that's a great recommendation.
And
other place I would really recommend in the French Quarter is, it's called French 75 Bar. That's adjacent to the famous restaurant Arnaud's. We just sat at the bar and had their potato souffle and escargot and a cocktail. That was our dinner. But if you ask, you will be shown the way to a little gallery of the history of this place upstairs. And that's the real attraction here, is you just have to be in the know and ask. Anyone can ask, and they'll point you in the right direction. And it's just a an intriguing photo history of the owners of the restaurant and bar and of the French Quarter.
That's a great tip, Chris. I think our listeners are writing that name down as we speak. So that's fantastic. And again, how long in New Orleans? What do you think? If you're not there for Mardi Gras, how long could you spend there?
Well, again, we felt like it was a minimum stay. We were there 3 nights, and that's all the time we had. That would be minimum to just enjoy some walking around, attractions, food, and music.
Beautiful. Sounds like a very enjoyable trip together with your Lafayette sector. And then you flew back to Minnesota to the cold.
By way of New York, yes. So we actually flew into Lafayette and out of New Orleans. And it's very easy to do that, no extra charge. So I encourage people to kind of check out the whole area.
Yeah, well, sounds great. Chris, you've come up with another Trump, I think, not talking presidentially. Although the guy who bought the land from the French must have been someone who was pretty good in real estate dealing, because you also got Alaska for three shillings and fourpence. So there's been some fantastic real estate moguls in the US well before the current occupier of office number one.
Yeah, your appreciation of that depends on which side of the deal you are on, I guess.
Well, it happened in Melbourne too. We bought a whole lot of land for the city of Melbourne from the Indigenous community for a few axes and I think European tools, basically. Maybe there might have been a bearskin rug thrown in or something equivalent. But yeah, there have been some very one-sided deals done over time.
We share that sordid history.
Indeed. Kristen Henning, thanks so much for reporting for us on Travel Writers Radio.
My pleasure. Great to talk to you, Graham.
I was speaking there with Kristen Henning, our Palette member who's born in the US. And for information about the story, go to www.travelpast50.com.